for just sharing God's word. It's so great to be together. There's a corporate anointing that comes when God's people come together. And I've really missed that, to be honest. I mean, we've had a corporate anointing as a family, and that's all right. But when we're with more family, then I believe there's a greater anointing. There's a greater corporate anointing, right? And so it's just been a great time this morning already, just worshiping and hearing what the Lord is speaking to us. Let's continue to just press in right now, and we'll invite God's presence here as we share the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. And as we study the word of God, as we hear what you have for us, we thank you that the word of God is just life to our bones. It's life to our spirit. And so we open ourselves up to receive from you, Lord. We open up ourselves to just receive the treasures of your word and be strengthened, have our spirits revived. We ask for and believe all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our family's plans have changed quite a lot this year. I was thinking about some of the things that have changed for us, even in regards to the plans that we have set up. The last service that we had here at the church, I actually wasn't here, if you may not recall that, but I was actually on an exercise with the Canadian Rangers, and so I was up north by the Paw, and I'd spent the weekend camping in a tent. But that weekend, Christian and Candace were on their way to the provincial hockey tournament, and their Christian's team was going to vie for the championships, and then they got a notification like halfway there that the tournament has been canceled. And of course, that was the last weekend that we gathered together as a church, and so Christian's hockey season changed quite a bit. I know Kennedy had several volleyball tournaments, including nationals, that she was going to go with to her team at Edmonton, and those were canceled, and so her volleyball season changed quite a bit. Obviously, Kylie graduated school this year, and her grad looked very different. I always heard about this great grad banquet, and I mean, the grad was good, but we missed out on the banquet, so I mean, whatever. I got two more grad banquets coming up in a few years, so holding in faith that those will happen. But that was a really different experience, the whole grad experience and everything that led up to that. Even having the kids, you know, those of us who have children, right? Cooks, you had, Fallon had homeschooled for, what, 2.5 months or something like that, right? That was a new experience, and Sam got to have his mom as a teacher. I bet you that was awesome. We didn't do much teaching in our home. We just kind of let the kids do their own thing, and hopefully they learned something. But I know the stuff that they go through, I look at that, and I'm like, I don't remember any of this. And you know, it actually seems amazing to me, because I know when I was in school, my parents helped me quite a lot. And so, you know, and they worked in the school, so they were obviously, you know, getting reminders all the time. But I'm amazed at what they retained and they were able to teach me, because I have none of that. I just like, I'm glad they're learning something, but I am not a part of it. I won't be able to take any credit for what the kids learn. But that was a different experience. Here at the church, obviously, things changed a whole lot because we weren't able to gather. We had to ramp up our online services. Things like family camp that we were looking forward to wasn't able to happen this year, right? So I'm already looking forward to family camp next year. If you're like me, travel plans change. So one of the things that we had planned to do, Candace and myself, and then Cooks and Menegs, we were going to go to a pastor's retreat in Canmore right at the end of April, and that was going to be a kind of a three-day thing, and we were looking forward to that. And then we personally were going to go to Winnipeg after that and spend a couple days just as a couple, and then take in one of Kennedy's volleyball tournaments. Well, that was off the table. And, you know, that was right around Candace's birthday, and so she was going to have a big birthday dinner, I don't know, in Canmore or Winnipeg or something. And, you know, it's just amazing how much our lives change. But it wasn't all, some of these things I'm talking about are negative a little bit, but there's been positive things that have happened as well, too, right? Some of the ways our lives have changed, I've enjoyed the extra family time, for example. I love spending time with my family, and so, you know, sometimes during the year, especially the school year when the kids are involved in things, it just seems like I could barely get time to sit down and have a meal together, for example. And so we had more family time and got to spend some evenings together. And I, for one, really enjoyed that. I'm a little bit of a homebody, and so that really worked out for me. But it's amazing how much our plans changed this year. And I would almost guarantee that each of you, you know, as I was listing off some of those things, you may have been thinking about some of the ways that your plans had changed and some of the things that maybe you had lined up for yourself this year, and they changed as well. Well, you know whose plans didn't change this year at all? The Lord's plans. God's plans have not changed this year at all, despite everything that's happened, right? So despite a global pandemic, and despite, you know, the Black Lives Matter, and all these protests we're seeing, and the invasion of the murder hornets in British Columbia, or whatever, pick your situation, but despite all these things that have happened that the world has tried to get excited about, and in many ways has gotten really worked up about the Lord's plans have not changed this year. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that God's purpose prevails. That's the title for the sermon this morning. God's purpose prevails. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." You and I can have lots of plans. We can think about things, and whether we like to admit it or not, we always have plans. Sometimes they're unspoken plans. Sometimes we don't verbalize them. Sometimes we don't even realize that we had plans until they're unfulfilled or they don't take place. And then we realize, you know, maybe you sense yourself being a little bit down, and you realize you had an expectation or you had plans and things didn't go the way you worked out. Others of us are big planners, right? And so, like, we know to the day and to the hour and where we're going to stop for a meal and where we're going to buy gas. And we have our lives are planned out. And for sure, especially if you're a planner or perhaps an over-planner, your plans have definitely changed this year. But God's purpose prevails. And, you know, when we make plans, oftentimes we're making them in the dark, right? Apart from what the Holy Spirit shows us and reveals to us, we're just saying, well, you know what, if things pan out, I would really like to do this or travel here or go see these people or take this trip and visit this tourist attraction or go do this activity or whatever it is. But we're making those plans in the dark, believing and hoping that we're going to be able to do those things, right? The Lord does not make his plans in the dark. He has foreknowledge of what's going to happen. He knows exactly what this year was going to be like. And that is why, one of the reasons why, his purpose prevails. He knows what the future holds, amen? And so he plans accordingly. And I believe that, you know, absolutely with certainty that life on this earth doesn't take God by surprise. So this year, the way this COVID-19 pandemic has unfolded, the way, health organizations have responded, or the way that governments have responded, and the consequences to our lives, and the consequences to national and global economies, and the world markets, and all these things, they have not surprised the Lord at all. He knew what was going to happen this year, even though you didn't. And so I was thinking that, for myself, when I was on the threshold of this year, in December 2019, I had, and I gave you a list of some of the things that we had planned and knew that, knew at that time were going to take place. We had plans for 2020, and those plans have changed a whole lot. Well, the Lord's plans on the threshold of this year in December 2019 haven't changed one bit, haven't changed for you and I, and haven't changed for his kingdom and his purposes. And so that's what we're going to talk about, because we want to be a part of those plans. Amen. It was neat to hear the word, that my dad and Bill were sharing, because I can't remember which one of you were saying that this is a time for listening to the Lord's plans and purposes, because the Lord has for things for us that he wants us to partner with. He has ways that he wants us to align with his will on this earth and his purpose. And that's the way, I'm getting ahead of myself here already, but that is the key for you and I experiencing plans that don't change, is when we're aligned with the Lord's plans. Amen? So we're going to spend some time in Ephesians 1 this morning. There is so much that we can unpack and teach about in Ephesians 1. And I've heard lots of sermons preach and lots of studies on Ephesians 1, for example. One of the things that's commonly taught about is the doctrine or the belief of being in Christ and how we're in Christ, what it means to be wrapped up in Christ. We're going to go through Ephesians 1, and we're going to take a different angle and a different approach, because this chapter talks a lot about God's plans and God's purposes and how they involve you and I. And so that's going to be the focus as we make our way through a little bit of Ephesians 1. And so we're going to start in verse 4, Ephesians 1, 4, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." So before you were born, that means God had plans for you and he had plans for me, right? And he loved us and he chose you and I to be in Christ. Now, we know that, and we firmly believe here at Solid Rock, that he hasn't just chosen us to be in Christ, right? That's why we need to go and tell the world about the love that Jesus has for them, because he hasn't just chosen us, he's chosen them as well, right? He's chosen mankind, he's chosen you and I to be in Christ, be part of God's family. And so Paul continues that thought then in verse 5, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So, you know, thousands of years ago, God was thinking about you. He was thinking about your life. He was thinking about who you are, and he was getting excited about bringing you into his family. He was getting excited about adopting you into his family through Jesus. And that verse says, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Have you ever perhaps had someone tell me or tell you, you just do what you want to do, don't you? Just whatever pleases you, you just go ahead and do that. Or perhaps you've said that to someone else in a bit of moment of frustration. You're like, man, you just do whatever you want, don't you? Well, you know what? We can say that about God, but it's not a negative thing. He absolutely does whatever he wants, and it really does excite him. It gives him great pleasure. And that's true of the Lord, and it's a reflection of his power, and it's a reflection of his goodness. So we can say this about God. He does what he wants whenever he wants. Amen? The Lord does what he wants whenever he wants. Isaiah 46:10 says, and this is a prophetic word concerning the Lord, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In the Passion Translation, it says, everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. That's the Lord. He does whatever he wishes. But, you know, it's not bad things. It's true to his nature. It's true to his character. And so, yes, God is a sovereign God, but he's sovereign to his character. He's sovereign to his nature. He's sovereign to his word. Amen, right? And so when he does what he wants, it's good for us. It's a blessing for us. It's for us and not against us. And so we want to be tied in. We want to be keyed in to what the Lord's plans and purposes are, because he's going to do what he wants, but we want to be a part of it. Amen? So Paul goes on then to describe God's plan for us, this plan for you and I that's existed over the thousands of years, even before it was put into place, before we were born. So we're going to pick it up in verse 6 now, if you still have your finger back in Ephesians 1. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He's showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. You and I can see the plan clearly, right? If you've got a relationship with Jesus, then the Holy Spirit has revealed this plan to you, and you've accepted God's plan for your life, and you've entered into relationship with Jesus. If you haven't yet, let me tell you right now, this is the plan, that God wants you to be part of his family, and he's had a desire long before you were born for you to be part of his family. And so he desires to bring you to himself, and he did it through Jesus. He sent his son Jesus, died for our sins, redeemed mankind unto himself, and now you can have a relationship with God because of Jesus. That's the plan. But you know, it didn't always look so clear, and it didn't always look like it was going to happen. Dad was sharing about Zechariah and the fact that Zechariah had to press in faith to God's plan. Well, I had some examples that I have thought of just in the story of the gospel that we see weave throughout scriptures, of people that stood at the crossroads in faith to further God's plan in their lives. And because they did that, they furthered God's plan for you and I. And the first person that I thought of was Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And there was many times, many crossroads in Abraham's life where he was required and God was asking him to stand in faith so God's plan could be furthered in Abraham's life. Of course, probably the first one that comes to mind for you and I is when God had promised Abraham an heir, right? And, you know, as we know, him and his wife Sarah got quite old and she was still barren. Abraham still didn't have an heir. And they had to believe and hope against hope that God was going to be faithful to his word and provide them with a son. Well, eventually he did, right? Eventually Isaac came along, and that was the child that the Lord had provided. But what a moment, what a test for Abraham when God told him to go sacrifice this son. So this boy that Abraham had spent decades believing God for, and now this child is precious to him because this boy is in his early teens, right around the age that Christian is at. And God asks Abraham to go sacrifice this son. And Abraham had to be thinking, Lord, this can't be you. This can't be right. This child, this boy that I believe for, this heir that I've stood in faith for, and it was, you know, my faith was extended to the very limits of what I thought possible. And Lord, you provided, and now you're asking me to give that up. And yet the Bible says that he responded in faith in that moment. Abraham figured, well, if I kill him, Lord, you're going to raise him back to life again, because this is a child that you promised. And you might be thinking, what does Abraham's faith have to do with you and I? Well, when I say God's purpose prevails, I'm not saying that God imposes his will on us. He doesn't do that, does he? God responds. First of all, he respects our free will, and he responds in this world to faith. God responds to faith. It was one of this particular aspect of God responding to faith. I didn't get a chance to share it when I was sharing those sermons a couple weeks ago online about God's will to heal. So we're just going to take a really quick bunny trip here. But one of the reasons why sometimes we ask, why is this person not healed, or why does that tragedy or sickness happen, is God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. Who creates need in this world? Is it the Lord? It's not. It's the enemy. The enemy goes around creating need, doesn't he? And so if God only responded to need, then he'd be responding to the devil, and the devil would be going around creating need, and God would be running around chasing and putting out the fires, right? Well, who's in charge at that moment? It's not the Lord's in charge, right? If the Lord is running around chasing the enemy and trying to meet every need, every lack that exists in this world, then really the enemy is calling the shots at that moment, right? So God is sovereign, but he responds to faith. He looks for faith on the earth, and where faith exists, even a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of faith, how big? The size of a mustard seed, right? Just a little bit of faith on this earth, the Lord can respond to that and work in that situation. That's why when we go through the Gospels, Jesus was always looking for faith, wasn't he? Or we have the Apostle Paul, and Paul says he recognized faith in someone. He recognized they had the faith to be healed, and then healing took place in that situation. So God is looking for faith on the earth, and that's where he's able to respond. And so that's why Abraham's story was so important, because Abraham had a lot of opportunities where he could exercise fear and doubt and unbelief, but instead he chose to act in faith, and it was for his benefit and ours as well. So Romans 4:20, it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. One more little quick bunny trail. Did Abraham ever waver? Ah, he did, didn't he? Ever heard of a guy named Ishmael? Remember the lies to some of the kings? No, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Thank the Lord for his grace, because he looks past the times. You know, what does the record say? The record says Abraham never wavered, right? Because the blood of Jesus covers that. And now, looking through the eyes of the new covenant, praise God, Abraham never wavered. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in all this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced God is able to do whatever he promises. Doesn't that sound like what he wants, whenever he wants? Because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Abraham's faith was crucial for you and I, because at a crossroads in history, Abraham chose to believe God, and he unknowingly actually moved forward God's plan for the redemption of mankind, right? That faith on the earth furthered God's plan. So just as Abraham was willing to give up his only son in faith, he paved the way for God to give up his only son for you and I. And you know, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important for you and I to stand in faith for God's plan to be unveiled and revealed and unfolded in our lives. Because it's not just for you. Your faith is not just for you. There are others around you, maybe family members, people in your extended family, people that you have a relationship, people in your community that you may not even know yet, that have a spiritual destiny that you can influence and affect if you're willing to stand in faith and have some faith on the earth and invite God to move in your life. Amen? This is part of how God's plan is unveiled and unfolded in our lives, and part of how he works in areas beyond ourselves is when we're willing to extend faith. You're not just living life for yourself. There are others there that are dependent on you extending faith in your situation, bringing faith into your situation. How about all the others that came after Abraham? I was thinking of the lineage of Jesus, and I just took a look quickly in the first chapter of Matthew, and I was thinking a few generations before King David, there was this gentleman named Boaz. He was older and didn't have an heir. We know the story of Ruth and Boaz, and it's a beautiful story how God provided a wife for him, and then God, through Ruth, God provided an heir for him, right? Well, just a few generations later, we have King David. Boaz was the ancestor of King David. How many times was King David's life in jeopardy? Whether it was from wild beasts, or giants, or kings, foreign kings, his own king, and eventually his own sons, right? There's many times where David feared for his life, but yet he stood in faith, and he was a prophet, and he set himself up to be someone who was in the lineage of Jesus. In 2 Samuel 23:5, these are some of the last words spoken by King David. It says, "Is it not my family God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success." David had a picture of how he was involved in God's plan. He didn't see it fully, but he had a covenant and a promise from Jesus that his family would rule forever. And they do through Jesus, right? There's a spiritual kingship that rules forever. And so David was part of God's plan as he extended himself in faith, moved past moments where it could have looked like in the natural. For example, when he gets back from the Philistines, comes to his home in Ziklag, and his camp has been destroyed, and all the family and children are gone, and the soldiers are so weary, the hundreds of men that he had with him are so weary they could barely stand. That would be an opportunity in David's life where it might have looked like, I guess this is all she wrote. You know, we tried, but it didn't work out. Yet he moved past that situation and was able to be part of God's plan in faith, not just for his benefit, but for you and I. I thought a few generations after King David, one of the people in King David's family that came along, another king, his name was King Hezekiah. Another just amazing story. King Hezekiah didn't have a godly heritage. He did not have a father and a grandfather that served the Lord, but his heart was toward the Lord. The Bible says that he pleased the Lord greatly in all he did. One of the things that King Hezekiah did is the Assyrian nation had conquered the nation of Israel a while before that, and they had to pay yearly tribute to the king of Assyria. And King Hezekiah said, forget it, I'm not doing that. You stop the tribute payments. And so the nation of Assyria, they assembled their army, and they came and they marched through, and they just started conquering again all these nations, all these territories around Jerusalem. Bible says they conquered all the fortified towns of Judah, and now they're camped, and now they're sieging against Jerusalem. And this is a pivotal moment in Hezekiah's life, and in the life of the nation of Israel, Judah, because they looked like they were going to get wiped out. And Hezekiah went before the Lord and just humbled himself and sought the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah, who was living at that same time, and Isaiah prophesied to King Hezekiah and said, you know, despite how awful the situation looks, the Lord is going to deliver you. The Lord is going to save you in this situation. What happened? The angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And the Assyrian king said, I'm out of here. We want no part of these guys, right? So he packed up his army and left them alone, went somewhere else, right? He had lost most of his army, absolutely devastated. You know, King Hezekiah was someone who, at a crossroads in history, had an opportunity to give into fear and doubt, or choose faith in God's word and God's promise for his benefit and for our benefit. Amen? There's so many other stories we could share. Looking even at that lineage of Jesus, looking at all the people that made decisions and stands of faith to move God's plan along, you know. But it all wasn't roses, was it? Right? There was shortcomings, there was misgivings, there was failures, there was missteps, there was wars and famine and disease, all kinds of tragedies. Yet, in spite of all that, in spite of every attempt of the enemy to short circuit God's plan on this earth, do you know that Jesus came at exactly the right time in exactly the right way? God's plan was revealed on earth. God's plan was unfolded on earth exactly the way he had always intended, right? And it was because there was people on the earth willing to respond in faith, even when they messed up or made a mistake or whatever had happened. They said, Lord, we're going to be part of your plan. We're going to stand in faith. We're going to recognize that you're choosing to work through us, even though we're not perfect, even though we don't have it all figured out. Lord, we're going to align yourself with your plan. We're going to stand in faith and believe that you're faithful and true to your promises, and you're going to accomplish in my life what you've promised to me, and you're going to, you know, the generations that come after me will be blessed and benefited because of my stand in faith. They truly believe that. Guys, this is an opportunity for you and I to make this same stand of faith. This is an opportunity right now for you and I to have the same perspective, because so much has happened, so much has changed, so much of our plans have changed this year, but God's plan has not changed. His purpose for 2020 hasn't changed one bit, not one single bit. And so there's an opportunity for you and I to align and get close and get synced up with God, what God is wanting to do in our lives and what he wants to do in this church. Amen? Let's continue reading on in Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, verses 9. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Do you know that God's plan always comes together at the right time and in the right way? God's plan always comes together at the right time, in the right way. He knows that he knows what's going to happen. He knows the decisions that his people are going to make on this earth. And he plans for it accordingly so that it happens in the right time and the right way. The onus of the question for you and I is, how would you like to have plans that never change? How would you like to have plans that never have to be changed? How do you think that's going to happen? The answer is through Jesus, isn't it? When we are willing to seek the Lord and listen, like Bill showed and encouraged us this morning, when we're willing to get close to Jesus, when we're willing to embrace the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, reveal to me your plans for me. And then when we choose to align ourselves accordingly with what the Lord has for us, now we can be guaranteed to have plans that never change and plans that are to come to fruition. Amen? That's exciting. That's exciting to have an opportunity to have certainty that we, you and I, in faith, can make plans that never change. When we choose to align our plans with God's plans, our plans will never fail because God's plans never fail. His purpose always prevails. His plans don't get sidetracked. They don't get canceled. They don't get delayed. They don't get deferred. They arrive and take place in the right way at the right time. So my question for you is, what were you believing for at the beginning of this year? Standing on the doorway to 2020, what were the things that you were believing for? Were you believing for healing in your body? Were you believing for restored relationships? Were you believing for provision in your life? Were you believing for supernatural supply or breakthrough in this area or another area? Were you believing for increased anointing in your life to share God's word? Were you believing for a greater manifestation of God's presence and a greater manifestation of spiritual gifts in your life? Were you believing for greater influence in your family or in your workplace? Were you believing for greater opportunities to share God's word with people who need to hear about the love of Jesus? What were you believing for at the beginning of 2020? If you were believing for any of those things, those are all things that are part of God's plan for your life. Amen? Because those are all scriptural. We could, any of those things that I just mentioned, we could give you promises from God's word where those things are part of your inheritance. And many of you would know those scriptures, and many of you are already standing on those scriptures for your own life. I want to encourage you just a little bit with this aspect of the inheritance that God has for you and I, the promise of the blessing of Abraham. That's not just for Abraham, but it's for our benefit as well. And so we're going to quickly whip through some scriptures in Galatians 3, just to encourage us in regards to this aspect of the inheritance that's ours to build our faith. Amen? So go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 3 if you're a Bible turner. If not, you can quickly follow on the screen. Galatians 3, 6, in the same way Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God you and I. Verse 9, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Verse 29, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Next chapter, Galatians 4:7. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. What's the message of those verses? If you're a child of God, Abraham's blessing belongs to you. You are an heir the same way he is because you're part of the family of God. And you have a spiritual inheritance, something that you can stand in faith for, something that you can believe in faith for, that is part of God's plan and your purpose for your life. And if you're going to believe for those things, if you're going to stand in faith for those things for your life, that's a promise that won't fail you. Those are plans that won't fail to come to pass in your life because God's purpose always prevails. Amen? So we have an inheritance in Christ. It's the same blessing that God gave to Abraham, and he received it by faith. If you're not sure what the blessing entails, well, get into God's Word. Search it. There's materials that we can give you. There's resources that we can give you to help you study the blessing and get excited about that because it's not just eternal security. It's not just salvation. Believe me, that is by far the most important part of the blessing, is a new birth. Far and away, no contest, absolutely. But a lot of believers just stop there. And there's more. God has heaven on earth for us. He has influence and blessing that he wants to bring into our life, because that is how the world is going to be won. The world is not going to be won. The gospel is not going to reach by a bunch of broken, depressed believers that just get through life by the skin of their teeth. That is not a testament to God's goodness and his power at all, is it? He is looking for people to raise up, get stirred up in the power of God, get a revelation of God's goodness and what he has for them, and then get out there and be willing to share it with the world. Be willing to demonstrate it in their own lives, receive it in their own lives, not just for them, because it's not just for them, it's for the others, it's for the world as well, right? That is how the harvest is going to be won. That is how the end time harvest is going to come in, is believers just like you and I, full of God's Spirit and presence in our lives, walking in God's blessing and his goodness, and it's his goodness that will bring others to repentance. Amen? That's the message of the gospel. We believe here at Solid Rock, we're not going to apologize for it. Amen? We believe that with all our hearts, and we will preach that till we're no longer here. So the blessing is ours for the taking, and we receive it the same way Abraham did, by faith. Let's continue on in Ephesians. Ephesians 1:11 now. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Do you see how the scripture kind of brings everything that we've talked about today, kind of brings it all together? We've received an inheritance from God because we've been chosen in advance, and God makes everything work out according to his plan. I was thinking of this verse, and we were talking about the verse in Romans 8:28. I think I shared it a couple weeks ago. Eckhart, you shared it as well, Romans 8:28, and it's some very similar wording there. This is Paul again. He says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's a lot of times as believers, we just really focus on this first part of this verse, don't we? And we know that all things work together for good. There's people that really don't get this verse at all. And so they just, you know, the worst things happen to them, and they just say, thank you, Lord, for doing that. I know you sent that for me, and somehow it's going to work out to be my good. That's not at all what this verse is saying. We know the Lord is a good God, and as a good God, he only wants good for you. He doesn't want bad for you. It's important to know that. But we need to read the last part of this verse. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How is it that we make plans that don't have to be changed? How is it that we have a purpose in life where we don't have to be disappointed because things go sideways on us? It's when we're aligned with God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. And so that's the qualifier we need to recognize, for those who are called according to his purpose. The Pastor Cam paraphrase might be, for those who direct their plans according to his purpose. So we know that all things work together for the good of those who direct their plans according to his purpose. You can't be off doing your own thing. You can't be off making your own plans that have nothing to do with God's plans, and then get bummed and disappointed when they don't work out and say, Lord, you failed me. You dropped the ball. No, he didn't drop the ball. You made plans that were different than his plans. If you make plans that are aligned with his plans and make plans that are aligned with his purpose because you spent time with the Holy Spirit, you spent time with Jesus, you know exactly what he has for you, make those plans, they will come to fruition. And you won't have to be bummed out and disappointed and upset and walking in doubt and unbelief. Amen? We need to get close to Jesus. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are the plans and purposes that you have for me in 2020? Because I believe in faith they haven't changed. And even though my life has changed and some of the plans that I had in place have changed, thank you, Lord, that your plans and your purpose for my life hasn't changed. Let's go ahead and stand. What were you believing for at the beginning of 2020? This is not the year to settle for less. This is not the year to hold back and say, well, you know, things have changed. This year just looks like a write-off. Let's just hold on and hope we make it through, and let's see what 2021 has for us. Let's not have any of that thinking here at Solid Rock Church, because the plans that the Lord had for us at the beginning of the year are the plans he still has for us this year. He still is looking for us to walk and overcome, walk in victory, to be a blessing, to walk in increase, to experience his goodness in a full measure this year. And what a powerful testament that will be to the world around us as God's people press in faith and receive the things that he has for them this year. Amen? Because believe me, there are lots of people on this earth. There are plenty enough people on this earth just trying to slide through this year by the skin of their teeth, hoping that somehow magically, you know, January 1st, something will change. Something will be different in 2021. God's got goodness this year for us. We're already walking into a measure. The fact that we're here, the fact that we're not in the hospital, the fact that he's blessed us with clothes to wear, the fact that we have health, that we can have the energy to raise. I mean, there's so many things we can give thanks for, but there's more for us this year. There's purposes and plans. There's things that he wants us to walk into, places where he wants us to have influence, ways that he wants us to walk in his anointing, because we're going to need that anointing to reach the people that he wants us to reach. So this is not the year to draw back. This is not the year to settle for second less. This is not the year to just expect leftovers and nothing else. This is the year to continue to expect God's goodness, the very best that he has for his people. Because what's the first verse that we started off with in Proverbs? I have to go back because I don't have it memorized. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen? Is that encouraging? Has that helped you a little bit? I know it's encouraged me as I've prepared it and as I've stirred myself up. Amen? I'm going to pray right now, and we're going to end things off. We're going to have a time of prayer. And so, as always, I just want to invite you, if it's something we haven't been able to do for a long time, right, is to be able to spend time in prayer. And so, as I close off, if you're looking to receive some prayer ministry, we're going to have people that will be up here and be willing to pray for you. They're going to ask you if they want you to, if you'd like them to lay hands on them. And, you know, we ask, how do we do it? Socially distanced, laying on our hands. Well, you don't. It doesn't exist, right? There's no such thing, right? And so we're not gonna assume that you're looking for that. Totally fine. If you'd rather the people to pray from you from a distance, you just have to be standing close enough so at least you can hear each other talk, right? But the folks up here are happy to lay hands on you and pray for you and just believe for whatever you're believing for in your life and God's blessing as well. And so I need to say that and just give you a heads up on how that's going to work. Let's press into the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich treasure of your word, Lord. We thank you for the promises of your word, Lord. They are so bold. They are so direct, Lord. They say that your plans don't change. Your purposes always prevail. We thank you, Lord, because you have foreknowledge. You know what the future holds. You know what you knew back in 2019, what 2020 was going to be all about, Lord. And you planned accordingly, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we have the opportunity to listen to you, Holy Spirit, as we have the opportunity to bend our ear to what the Spirit is saying, we thank you, Lord, that we can align our plans with your plans, and we can have plans that do not change. We can have plans that will prevail. Lord, we ask for a fresh measure of grace upon Solid Rock Church, Lord, as we choose to press into you, Lord, that Lord, that we have ears to hear what you're saying, Lord. We thank you for willing hearts to respond to what you're saying, Lord. We thank you for the courage to stand in faith despite what circumstances might be telling us, despite what the world might be telling us. Lord, we thank you that we will see your purposes prevail in our lives, in our church, this year, not next year, but this year in 2020. Lord, we're so blessed to be part of your family. We would not have it any other way, Lord. We're so grateful, as Moses declared thousands of years ago, that your presence among us sets us apart from any other people, Lord. Truly, it's your presence among us that sets us apart, Lord. And so we treasure your presence in our lives. We treasure the Word of God that speaks to us. And we treasure you, Holy Spirit, that speaks to us and causes us to direct our plans. And so as we go forward this week, Lord, with joy, Lord, we have our ear to you, Holy Spirit. We have our ears listening to what you're speaking for us, Lord. And we are stirring ourselves up in the Word of God so that faith is there and gives you something to respond to in our lives, something that activates the work of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being with us here today. We thank you for everyone here. We declare the favor of God as we go out and minister and be the body of Christ, be the hands and feet of Jesus, as you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Wow, it's been great gathering here. It's been great worshiping the Lord together. We look forward to doing it next week. There's probably still some coffee available. Help yourself to that. If you'd like